Welcome to the Shi'an Targumim Parshas Bo. The Shi'ar this evening is sponsored by Miss Judith Levine, in memory of her mother, Mary Levine, the Mishon Shreven Aliyah, Shasim Oshnach Asurah, from the Torah, Mitzvahs, and Maisim Tovim, that the family are involved in. So towards the beginning of the Parsha, the Torah describes how Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, and they tell him that if you're not going to send forth the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the Makkah of Arba, the plague of locusts. So, at this point, the servants of Paro intervene, and they say to Paro, you know, what are you doing? You're messing up the entire Egyptian people. Just let them go already. These people want to go and serve their God. Let them go. What are you destroying? The entire country. So apparently that puts a certain degree of pressure on Paro. He calls back Moshe and Aaron to the palace. He says to them, I'm ready to let you guys go. Go worship Hashem your God. But who's signed up on this birthright trip? We're going to go with our young, with our old, with our sons and our daughters. It's a celebration of Hashem for us. So Paro is not impressed by this answer. And he says, Yehi chen Hashem imochem, kasher ashalach eschem v'yestapchem. May God be with you when I send you and your children. Which is explained by the Mefarshim as meaning, yeah, you really think I'm going to send you and the children? That's not going to happen. Re'u ki ra neged pineichem. Behold, evil is opposite your faces. I want to focus on this last phrase in the pasuk, "Ru'u ki ra neged pneichem," because there are different versions of the Targum Onkelos over here, and they may mean different things, and they may point to one of the issues which was raised in past weeks, and just needs to be fleshed out a little bit and understood in the back and forth between Moshe and Paro. So the version of the Targum Onkelos which we have over here, Re'u ki ra neged pneichem, see, behold, that evil is opposite your faces, which is a phrase which is not immediately understandable. Targum Onkelos that we have renders this, Chazu, see, Arei bisho de'atum sfirin lemebad, the evil which you intend to do, lekobel apeichem listacharo, is going to turn around opposite your faces. Meaning, you're looking to do something evil over here, it's going to backfire. It's going to boomerang and come back and harm you. The way that would go back into the pasuk is, Re'u ki ra'ah, see that the evil which you mean to do, is neged pneichem, is actually going to come opposite your faces. So to speak, you're looking to to do something evil and throw it away from you, the evil that you're going to do, that you're trying to do, is going to come back to haunt you. It's going to come back in your direction. What exactly does that mean? What's the evil which they intend to do, and in what sense is it going to come back and boomerang against the Jewish people? So it's interesting to note over here, there's a Ramban, where the Ramban discusses our Nusach of Onkelos and also brings that there was another version of Onkelos as well. The starting point from the Ramban is a comment in Rashi. Rashi says, Re'u ki ra neged pneichem. What does this pasuk mean? See that evil is opposite your faces. Says Rashi, kitargumo. It means what the Targum Onkelos says it means. So in a very typically wry comment, the Ramban says as follows. He quotes Rashi, and he says, "Umat tov hayosh yifarshehu eleinu." It's very nice. Rashi says the interpretation of the pasuk is what the Targum says. But it would be nice if Rashi would explain to us what the Targum says, and then we could actually know what Rashi has in mind. Because as the Ramban goes on to say, Hanuschaos min haTargum mischaufos bo. There are different versions of what the Targum Onkelos actually says. So for Rashi to tell us, just look at the Targum Onkelos, sort of, sidesteps the question, what does the Targum Onkelos actually say? Yeshikos of Bohem, there are versions of the Onkelos, not the one that we have in our Chumashim, that say, Arebisho de'atun sfirin lemebal, l'kabel apechon istacharas. The evil which you seek to do is sitting opposite your faces. We have the word listachara, which means to turn around. It's going to, the evil you want to do is going to turn around and boomerang against you. Istacharas, as the Ramban is going to tell us, means to sit down in Aramaic. The evil which you mean to do, which you intend to do, is sitting opposite your faces. What does that mean? V'nira l'zo anuscho shirotza unkolos lefaresh, haro sha'atim choshvim lasos yoshva l'neged pneichem. The evil which you wish to do is sitting opposite your faces, l'ho'id bochem. So to speak, it's obvious. You know, your evil intentions are obvious. They are sitting here. You know, we would talk in contemporary terms about, you know, the elephant in the room. It's sitting. Your evil intentions are clearly on display. And what are your evil intentions? She'atem rotzim livroach. It's clear that you want to run away. Now let's just elaborate on this a little bit. There's a point that Mel raised, touched upon, in the past week. The whole discussion, certainly when Moshe and Aaron originally came to Paro at the end of Parashat Shmos, and even here, as we look at the back and forth between Moshe and Aaron and the servants and Paro and all of that, seems to be predicated on the idea that what are Moshe and Aaron asking for? They're asking for a Shabbaton. They want Klal Yisrael to be granted 3 days to go into the desert. Kichag Hashem Lanu, they say in these psukim, we intend to make a celebration for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to bring karbanos. And that's really all we're asking. We're asking to go into the desert for 3 days and bring karbanos and bring sacrifices, and then we're going to come back. So Paro, his antenna are up, and he gets suspicious. And he says, oh yeah, you want to bring karbanos? Who's going on this Shabbaton? Everybody. Our men, our women, our old people, our children. So that's Paro's response. Yehi chein Hashem imochem kasher ashalach eskam v'yestapchem. You only wish that I would send you and your babies on this Shabbaton. You want to go bring karbanos and you're going to bring your babies on the Shabbaton? You're going to bring your little kids? What, their kids groups? You know, that you have planned? There's a junior congregation that you're going to have when you go out into the desert? I know you're just fooling, says Paro. Re'u kiro neged peneichem. The evil which you want to do, i.e., you want to run away from Egypt. You're not looking to come back. I know what you're planning. The evil which you want to do is neged peneichem, is obvious. In the terms of the Ramban, the way he understands the Targum Onkelos, it's l'kabel apeichon istacharas. It's sitting opposite your faces. I don't have to be a genius to figure out that your plan over here is not to bring karbanos at all, but rather it's to run away and never come back from Egypt. So why on earth would I ever allow something like that to happen? That's the Ramban's Nusach of Onkelos, which we don't have in our Chumashim. Then he says, he quotes our version of Onkelos. And he says, what's the difference? He says, Yomar, Hine hara hazos mizumenes losuv neged peneichem, ki aleichem tachzor. The intention of the version of Onkelos that we have is that the evil which you wish to do, which once again we'll see means the fact that I realize that you're looking to run away, not simply to make a Shabbaton off in the desert, the fact that I realize you're looking to run away is going to come back to bite you. It's going to turn around and boomerang against you. And in what sense is that true? So he writes as follows. Osa ra'a sha'ata mevakshim lasos. That evil which you wish to perpetrate, Sheesh b'daitchem livroach, i.e., that you wish to run away, he toshuv neged pneichem, that it will come back against you, shelo teitzu mikan, I'm not going to let you go at all. Kolomar mido keneged mido. Paro says to Moshe and Aaron, you want to try to run away? So I'm not even going to grant your relatively minor request. You want to go into the desert to offer up korbanos? In a vacuum, if I thought that that's all you were going to do, I would have granted that request. But Reu ki ra neged pneichem, I see that you're looking to run away, and therefore I'm going to shut the door closed to not even allow that. So, you know, you think you're so smart, you're going to end up getting nothing. That's Paro says to Moshe and Aaron. So according to both versions of the Targum Onkelos, the common denominator is the following. The back and forth between Moshe and Aaron and Paro at this point focuses on what the request is and what Paro perceives the real request as being. Paro, truth is, correctly sees that they're not simply looking to go for a couple of days into the desert. They are looking to leave Mitzrayim altogether, and to that, he's not prepared at this point to allow them to do. So again, this Targum Onkelos opens up our eyes to a back and forth in the Psukim. Now, the question is still on the table, which we'll have to deal with. I don't think we're going to deal with it tonight. Hopefully we'll deal with it. You know, if indeed the intention of Moshe and Aaron was to run away, which we know is in the end of the day, that is what happens. They don't go out of Mitzrayim for 3 days and then come back. They go, they leave, they never come back. How was it ethical and appropriate to present to Paro that the request was simply to go out for 3 days? But that very issue seems to be part of the back and forth over here, according to the Targum's understanding of the Psukim.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And that was it. I'm sorry, that was it. That was, he knew what we caught 52 birds on the table. He was a smart man, but he also knew how to reject all these.
Right, right. The way the Targum Onkelos seems to present it, again, it's hard to read a lot into the Targum Onkelos, but the way the Ramban understands the Targum Onkelos in both ways, right, is that Paro was basically saying as follows. If you would be honest, and I thought that you were actually just going to go for 3 days, I would grant that request. But I don't get the impression that you're being honest. I see through what you're doing. I realize that you're looking to run away. And as such, I'm not going to let you go at all. That's the response, you know, that Paro has to the request of Moshe and Aaron. Yeah.
How could it be that they could ask that? Any decent thinking person, Paro would know this, so they're setting themselves up with the rejection, that he would be aware that they're not going just for 3 days. I thought of something over here. That because of all the plagues and everything, he's speaking to a man who's a broken, his government, his whole country's broken. He can save them 3 days and maybe he'll agree. That may be in their mind. So it's very justified. How can they do this when it's so obvious? Because he's broken and he may not be able to see it. That's what they may have thought.
Okay. In other words, what... You know, why would they have made that request if they thought that Paro would be able to see through
it's
it? You say,
so obvious, say but they knew that he was broken. And maybe
right. I'm not sure that it's so obvious. In other words, it's only obvious to us because we know the end of the story, right? But in theory, why shouldn't they, you know, from the beginning, they've been asking for 3 days to go and bring Karbanos to celebrate the God out in the desert. It's a reasonable request. Right? So, you know, in a vacuum, there's no reason why that couldn't have been the request, and that could have been the whole back and forth, you know, between Paro and Moshe and Aaron. We fast forward a little bit in the Sedra, we get to Perek Yud, Pasuk Chof Aleph. So the Arba has come and gone, and it's now time for the Makkah of Choshech. Vayomer Hashem, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Netei Yodchol HaShomayim, stretch forth your hand against the heavens, V'hi choshech al eretz Mitzrayim, and let there be darkness over the land of Egypt. V'yomesh choshech, and let v'yom, I won't even translate the word, v'yomesh choshech, let the dark be v'yomesh. So what does that mean? So Rashi over here writes, v'yomesh choshech, v'yachshich aleihem choshech yoser mecheshko shalayla. Let the darkness which will come be even darker than the darkness of night. This is not a normal darkness. This is a super darkness. Choshech shalayla ya'amish v'yachshich od. In other words, that the darkness that was already should increase and get even darker. So v'yomesh, according to Rashi, implies something which it should strengthen or intensify. Right? Let the darkness come, and let the darkness intensify above and beyond the normal darkness of night. And indeed, when we continue reading the Psukim, the darkness which is described as being in Mitzrayim seems like a supernatural type of darkness. Lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshes yomim. The darkness is so intense that people can't move. In other words, there's some kind of tangibility, as it were, that this darkness has. So that's Rashi's interpretation of the pasuk, right? V'yomesh choshech, let the darkness intensify above and beyond the normal darkness which we associate with night. The Targum Onkelos has a different interpretation of this pasuk, of that phrase, v'yomesh choshech. He writes, v'hei chashoch al arad Mitzrayim, let there be darkness over the land of Egypt, basar diyidei kevel lelya, after the darkness of night is removed. So what does that mean? So according to the Targum Onkelos, as opposed to Rashi, where the pasuk is speaking about the quality of the darkness, right? According to Rashi, the darkness is intense above and beyond the regular darkness that we would have every night. According to the Targum Onkelos, the pasuk is talking about the timing of the darkness. When is the Makkah of Choshech going to begin? At dawn. At dawn, or at sunrise, when the darkness of night is removed, it's going to be immediately replaced by this new artificial darkness, which is the darkness of the Makkah. In other words, there's going to be a clear delineation to show that this is not just a cloudy day, right? Again, you know, we live in a day and age, we live in Manhattan, right? So even at night, it's never really dark, right? There's always artificial light, you know, that you see all over the place. But, you know, how do you, in a pre-modern age, you know, without a lot of lights around, it could be that there would be a very, very cloudy day where the sun would be obscured. And even during the daytime, there would be a lot of darkness. You know, a day like today, the truth is, you know, without artificial lights, a day like today, very cloudy, very overcast, it's very, very dark during the day. You know, if we didn't have all this artificial light outside, it'd probably be somewhat dark, you know, even during the daytime, during like a day, like on a day like today. I'm sorry? Right. So, you know.
So dark.
Yeah, so dark. But it was dark at night. But if even during the day, if it was a very, very cloudy, overcast day, it might be very dark during the day as well when there's no artificial light.
Right.
Here, the point had to be made that the darkness which would exist in Mitzrayim was going to be something supernatural. The regular dark of the evening is going to come to an end. The dark of the night is going to come to an end. Maybe, again, it's not clear in the Targum Onkelos, but maybe even the sun would rise briefly, and then after the sun rising briefly, there would immediately, you know, be a state during which all of Mitzrayim would be plunged into darkness. To make it very, very clear, it's not just you know, that it happens to be somewhat dark outside, that maybe it's cloudy or overcast, this is clearly something that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. How do you read this into the Pasuk? So the Targum Onkelos understands the word V'yomesh as related to the word Yomish, which means to stop or to cease, or to cease. Lo Yomish Amud Ha'anan, right? The cloud, the pillar of cloud, never stopped or departed from on top of the Mishkan. So V'yomesh Choshech means the regular darkness of night will depart, and it will be replaced by this artificial darkness of Mitzrayim. Now this pshat, interestingly, is quoted by Rashi, this pshat of the Targum Onkelos, and he rejects it. Right? We saw Rashi before, understands V'yomesh Choshech means the darkness will intensify, not that the darkness will be removed. Rashi over here on the word V'yomesh writes, V'unkulus tirgeim lashon hasara. Unkulus interpreted the pasuk V'yomesh as being removed. Kimo lo yomish, right? Again, the pasuk that refers to the cloud being on top of the Ohel Moed. Aval ein adover miyushov al havov shel V'yomesh. The vav, says Rashi, I disagree with this pshat in Unkulus, because the vav in V'yomesh doesn't fit this interpretation. According to the Unkulus's interpretation, Yomesh Choshech means the darkness will be removed. The natural darkness will be removed, and it's talking about a point in time. The vav at the beginning of the verb v'yomesh implies something which is going to be in the future. So according to Rashi, it means the darkness will intensify. According to the Targum Onkelos, it means the darkness was removed. So the vav with the shva underneath doesn't really fit according to the Targum Onkelos, so says Rashi. We should point out, however, that although Rashi disagrees with the Targum Onkelos and his pshat, other Rishonim do pick up on this understanding of the Targum Onkelos, namely that the pasuk is stressing that the darkness of Mitzrayim is going to be fundamentally different than the regular darkness that happens at night. And Davka HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it clear that first the darkness of night is going to be removed, and then in the early morning the darkness of the special Makkah is what's going to befall Mitzrayim. Let me read to you from the Sfarno for a moment. The Sfarno writes, V'yosiras achoshech hativi shalayla. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to remove the natural, the normal darkness of night. Ki omnom choshech halayla hu avir muchon lekabel ha'or, hu choshuch beheder ha'or bilvad. Ordinarily, it's not that darkness prevents bringing light into the situation. Ordinarily, darkness simply represents the absence of light. Amnam zeh hachoshech yiyah avir bilti muchan lekabel ha'or lerov avyo. However, the darkness of Mitzrayim is going to be so thick, and here the Sfarno seems to be combining the pshatim of Unkelos with that of Rashi. V'yomesh means the regular darkness will be removed, but this darkness is going to be intensified. The darkness of Mitzrayim is going to be such that it won't be able to even allow light to penetrate the darkness. And, you know, it won't be able to accommodate light at all. Lo hispik loze or nerva avuka. Says the Sfarno, what does this mean practically? So you couldn't even light a candle during the darkness of Mitzrayim, right? I mean, you have that as a pretty obvious question if you just read the pshat and the psukim. Okay, so it was dark. Nope, so what do you do when it's dark? So light a candle. You couldn't light a candle. The candle would go out. In other words, the darkness was so thick and so supernatural. Again, we don't ordinarily think of darkness as being thick, right? Ordinarily, darkness is just the absence of light. But whatever it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into Mitzrayim was so different and so unique that it wasn't even possible to light a candle or to otherwise shed artificial light you know, during that that period of time. So that's biyomesh choshech. The regular, ordinary darkness is going to be taken away, and what's going to be substituted for it is going to be something that's an entirely different species of darkness, so to speak.
Yeah. Yomesh is equal to kosher plus koa, 28. Is that actually 28 more than the next word? The next word is so it's kosher plus.
Oh,
koach.
Interesting. Okay, kosher plus a special koach ends up to be the yomesh. Okay, shikayach. Okay. Okay.
Is this a special breed of the Kodesh Baruch Hu made that?
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. In other words, this is not a normal darkness. This is an abnormal, supernatural kind of entity, you know, which comes in as a result.
It's very, very. It doesn't make it to the top six before creation. I mean, it is kind of.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, this, how come this is one of those, not one of those things that was created by Ashmashos? I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because it's such a special, you know, right. Even Barat also, but I'm just saying that right. This one is just like.
Right. So, I don't know. To be continued, Bezos Hashem. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakus, Yisrael.